This is 89.1 WEMU, and on this week's edition of Issues of the Environment, we're going to return the conversation to PFAS. Now, these are referred to as forever chemicals because they simply don't break down, and they're not only harmful to the environment and our ecosystems, they're destructive to human health. The Ann Arbor-based Ecology Center recently funded a study, and it discovered PFAS in the rainwater falling over Ann Arbor and southeast Michigan. And one would surmise if it's in rainwater here, it may be in rainwater just about everywhere. But rather than guess, we're going to talk with an expert. Erica Bloom is the Toxics Campaign Director at the Ecology Center, and thank you so much for being here today, Erica. I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Well, as soon as I heard about the study and some of its findings, kind of a light went off for me. It makes perfect sense. But for some reason, up until that point, I was locked in on PFAS contamination simply in the waters on the ground and in our land. But of course it has to be in the air. What prompted the study of rainfall in our region?
That's a great question. You know, a lot of research has focused around PFAS in drinking water, fish, surface water like lakes and rivers. This particular project was prompted through a network that the Ecology Center co-founded called the Great Lakes PFAS Action Network.
Mm-hmm.
And that network is a coalition of people who have been impacted by PFAS in their communities. And they're really united around policy change, resourcing communities, and a couple of our community members who live in southeast Michigan in more industrial areas. You know, they really came to us and said, there's a lot of research on PFAS in water, and we're concerned about what's happening, if there's PFAS in the air in our communities. So we took those questions to heart, and we did a small study with those community members to figure out if there was PFAS in the air.
And in examining the collected rainfall, you did find PFAS in the water. What levels did you find the concentrations?
So we did samples from Dearborn, Detroit, Ann Arbor, and we also worked in Flint. All three of those rainwater samples contained PFAS. And I want to be clear, too, that we did collect rain in order to test PFAS in the air, because rainwater can deposit, you know, certain chemicals from the air. So it was an easy way for us to be able to do those samples. But we found PFAS, we found PFAS in all three. And the highest levels were in Dearborn. And I want to also talk about a particular type of PFAS that we were really clear that we wanted to look at.
Yeah, there are so many different kinds and classifications, right, of PFAS. So what was the primary finding?
Yeah, and there is. PFAS is a class of thousands of chemicals. And a lot of times we don't actually look for a particular chemical that shows up in the air. And this one is TFA, and that stands for trifluoroacetate acid. And that PFAS, like I said, it shows up in the air. It's a breakdown product of common refrigerants. And it travels long distances, but it's not regulated. And so we were really concerned about that particular chemical. And so we found really high levels of that chemical in our Ann Arbor and Dearborn samples. But when we took out, you know, when we just look at PFAS without that particular chemical, Detroit and Dearborn really stand out as having a more than double the amount of PFAS in rain than Ann Arbor. And this result may reflect a greater number of industrial sources of PFAS in Detroit and Dearborn. But again, you know, this study was a small sample, and we really believe there more research is needed to look at PFAS in the air around Michigan and these industrial areas, too.
WEMU's Issues of the Environment conversation with Erica Bloom continues. She is Toxics Campaign Director at the Ecology Center in Ann Arbor. So you mentioned this particular TFA. What is most concerning about that particular PFAS?
You know, there's other countries have done some research about this particular chemical, and there's been shown to have reproductive and human developmental harms from exposure. And really, you know, when we look at PFAS, again, it's a class of thousands of chemicals, and many chemicals that have been researched and the few that are regulated have been shown to cause, you know, certain or be linked to certain types of cancers, reproductive harm, thyroid cancer, you know, so we're just very concerned that there are many, many more PFAS out there that haven't been studied as much. And again, only a few are regulated.
As we look at PFAS as an air pollutant, as we make our way through the days, do we have to be concerned about absorbing it through the skin, like perhaps coming in contact with the PFAS-contaminated foam we've seen on the Huron River and elsewhere?
You know, it's a good question. I think because PFAS is so ubiquitous, it's really everywhere. And so it's not that we can avoid it. You know, every time we step out, I wouldn't tell people to just, you know, stop going in the rain. But what I can say is that, you know, we are exposed to it in so many different parts of our lives, in our products, in contaminated water, fish, and the foam, that we just really need to have a more understanding of how these chemicals are moving through our environment and through our bodies, and really look at how we can prevent and eliminate these chemicals in our society.
Well, once again, we're talking with the Ecology Center's Erica Bloom on 89.1 WEMU's Issues of the Environment. Erica, identifying the problem, it's one thing. Solving it, quite another. So what are we lacking in addressing PFAS contamination throughout our environment?
Well, Michigan has identified over 280 contaminated sites in our state, and they have done a good job looking for PFAS, you know, and remediating and looking at really areas that have been more heavily contaminated. You know, PFAS in the air and rainwater is something, again, we need to continue studying. And it's harder to figure out how to, you know, stop that. The solution is policy change and companies moving away from manufacturing products with PFAS and really innovating toward better alternatives. Making safer products that don't contain these toxic chemicals. And, you know, the Ecology Center and the Great Lakes PFAS Action Network, we're supporting bills introduced in the Michigan legislature around banning PFAS in products like furniture, personal care products, firefighting foam. These are really important policies because it's really hard to clean this stuff up. And we need more policies that are preventative in nature. We need our lawmakers to really take this issue seriously, pass strong laws to better protect our health and the environment. And we need companies really to take a stand and say, we're going to look for safer alternatives.
And it seems unlikely the latter will act until such time the former enacts those kinds of regulations and more stringent oversight, right?
Yeah, it's really, again, you know, policy can move the market, but the market can also, you know, move policy. So I think both are very important to have happen. And that's a big part of what the Ecology Center does and what communities that we're working with, you know, they're really focusing on what they can do in their local communities and how they can be, you know, advocates for change throughout the state.
Erica, you mentioned that this was a very small kind of study and with a very small sample size. So now that you have detected that there is PFAS in rainwater, what will be the next step in this particular research moving forward?
Yeah, we actually looked at some other research coming out of the College of Worcester in Northern Ohio. And we've been continuing to talk with them about some of their peer-reviewed studies that they found PFAS in rainwater and have been continuing to do more research. So we plan to keep going with this, and we would like to work, you know, with more academic partners and, you know, encourage the state of Michigan to do more PFAS in rain sampling. We want to work more with community members who have been questioning, you know, PFAS in their water and their soils. We're really ready to partner. That's something we do a lot, and we think that that's some of the most important work is building, you know, trusted relationships in communities and really responding to what community members want to be tested and what they want to see monitored.
I'm just curious, as we start to wrap up our conversation today, Erica, so much research provides us the knowledge and the direction to move forward in positive ways, but it seems like every time we enact or undertake a research project, we find bad news. Does that get rather distressing from your point of view?
Yeah, you know, it's something that I think it's so important to understand what's happening to our environment. Because the more, you know, the more research and data that we have, the more we can use that to push policy and to make changes and to really have the scientific evidence to be able to do something. So I know it can be a lot and can be overwhelming around PFAS and all kinds of environmental issues, but we can't turn away from that. We must understand what the issues are with our research and really use the research to make good policy. That's, you know, why we do this work.
Well, thank you for taking the time and sharing your knowledge today, Erica. It's much appreciated.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
That is Erica Bloom, Toxics Campaign Director at the Ann Arbor-based Ecology Center, and our guest on Issues of the Environment. For more information, pay a visit to our website at WEMU.org. We'll get you all linked up. Issues of the Environment is produced with support from the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commission, and you hear it every Wednesday. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM, Ypsilanti.